All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Today's daf is daf lamed. We are picking up on Chavtes Amud Beis, 29b, last line, Amarava. Also want to thank you, Huda, not here, but thank you, Huda, for giving the shir yesterday. So says the Gemara, Amarava. Rava said, Ha vadai kami boilon. So Rava said, the following case definitely poses a question to us. What's the question? Type of lamed. Kimashu beizdin shliach befanov o shalo befanov. So we'll remember again in yesterday's daf, the Gemara discussed the concept, discussed the ability that beizdin could go ahead and appoint another shliach. We'll remember again, we saw this case where the husband says to the shliach, "I want you to deliver the get after 30 days." After 30 days, so what happens? So let's say the guy says, "I can't be there after 30 days." So beizdin has the ability to appoint another shliach in order to deliver the get. The shaila is, does Beis Din have to appoint the second shaliach in the presence of the first shaliach or not? So the Gemara says, Hadar Pashta, they then answer the question. The Bryce explicitly said, Bein Befanov, Bein Shalo Befanov. The Bryce explicitly says that they can appoint the second shaliach either in the presence of the first or out of the presence of the first. Shalchu Mitamen, indeed, they sent from there, Bein Befanov, Bein Shalo Befanov. So both say, so Alok Lamaisa. The way the Gemara ends off is saying that if they're going to go ahead and appoint another shaliach, that second shaliach need not be appointed in the presence of the first. Two dots, Rabbi Sai, Lamed Amud Aleph, three lines down. Hahu de Amr. So Rabbi Sai, now the Gemara is going to go on a little bit of a tangent, but it's not really a tangent. Meaning, since we spoke about cases of onsim, extenuating circumstances, so remember, we saw already in Ksuvis that there is a much more fundamental machlokas by Gittin about yesh ones begin, ein ones begin. In other words, that do extenuating circumstances play a role in Gittin or not? So the Gemara is going to kind of branch out into this conversation just for a few moments. So Gemara says, Ahu da Amar, you're going to recognize this case. Ahu da Amar, ilo asina atlas in yom el havigita. A man gave his wife a get, and he said, this get will be valid if I don't come back within 30 days. What happens? Asa, he came back to the town within 30 days. Upaske mavra, but the bridge leading into the town collapsed. So as you can imagine, it's day number 29. He's there. He's just by the other side of the bridge. The bridge collapsed. He can't get back to the town. What happens? Amalu chaza da'asoy, chazu da'asoy. So he's jumping up and down. See, I'm here. And what happens? What's the halacha? Shmuel lo shmei masya. Shmuel says, no, you're not. Right? You're not back. You're not back in town. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi. Lo shmei masya. Dilo mati ad hacha. He's not back. Why? Because the Tanai was going to come back into town. It's very nice that he's visible. It's very nice that he's on the other side of the bridge. But he's not back in town. Ve'ein tainus onis bitnai gin lemeimer anisa. So both say, Rashi explains that the first possibility is to what Shmuel is saying is ein onis begin. You know, both say, which by the way is logical because what ein onis begin means there are no extenuating circumstances when it comes to gin. What does that mean? If you're going to make a tanai, so you are the one who created that tanai. So if you don't want the tanai to be governed by extenuating circumstances, then what? Then build that into the tanai. Then build it into the tanai. If I don't come back within 30 days, the get is good. Unless, of course, I get back and the bridge collapses, I can't get into town. Meaning, you control that. So once you're making the tanai and you choose not to cover other circumstances, then the halacha is not going to do more for you than you're doing for yourself. That's possibility one. Ein onis begin. Inami Rashi says, there's another possibility. Yesh onis begin. Well, I say there is another possibility. Maybe there is ein onis begin. But ha'ukimna b'shmaita kamaisa d'ksuvas da'hai onsa shchiyahu v'ibarili lisnir. Both say it's actually very interesting. Remember the Gemara Maseches Ksuvas, we saw this case, says the other possibility is no. Yesh onsin begin. Extenuating circumstances do play a role in gittin, but what? We'll say this is different because it's what's called an ones teshchichi. It's a common ones. So because it's a common ones, you should have had it in mind when you made the tanai. Because you didn't, you can't claim ones now. Okay, so we'll say, so fine. Ha'u da'amar lehu. Ilo fe'asna la atlasin yom in la havigita. This is another interesting case. A man says, now the case over here is that a man is giving his wife a get, or he's presenting the shliach with a get, that's going to be chal in 30 days from now. A husband says, if I'm unsuccessful in appeasing my wife, right? If I'm unsuccessful in diffusing her anger, then the get should be chal 30 days from now. Okay. Azal faisa velo ifaise. So he tried to appease her and it didn't work. So Amar Rav, so we'll say, take a look at Rashi. Faisa bidvarim v'her ba'alav reyim v'lo nisratza lahashlimito. So he tried to be very nice. He spoke nicely. He told her very beautiful things. And yet, I'm sorry. No, actually, you're going to see Dafka, not diamonds, which you see, such a rookie mistake, right? So now remember, so listen to this. He tries to appease her, but she's not Mekabel. She's not Mekabel, right? She will not listen. So the Rabbi says, now the Shaila is what happens to the get after 30 days. So I'm Rav Yosef. Mi yahev la tarkava de dinari velo efaisa. So Rav Yosef said, you didn't try hard enough. Did you give her literally 3 kabin of gold? Yeah. Right? So in other words, what Rav Yosef is saying is, if you really wanted to, there are plenty of ways you could have appeased her. There are plenty of ways that you could have made out, but you didn't do that. Look at Rashi. Mi yahev la tarkava de dinari velo efaisa. V'cheven shalo asakein. You didn't give her 3 kav of gold. Nimta shalo feinsa. V'af api she'en lo lor minan honest de'en adam yachal lit on onis b'tnai shel get vavigit. So it's like what he said. So he said to him, look, did you give her diamonds? Did you give her 3 kav of gold? Now the guy will say, what do you want from me? I don't have it. So you don't have it. That's not our problem. Ein onis begitin. Right? You made the tnai. You didn't fulfill your tnai. And therefore, ultimately, the get is not good. Ultimately, the get is chal. So we'll say, so again, this seems to align with the same idea of Shmuel, of ein onis begitin, that there are no extenuating circumstances. Because what the husband wants to say is what? I tried my best. I tried to appease her. She didn't go. Because remember again, the tanai of the get is, if I don't appease my wife, then the get will be chal after 30 days. Which is another way of saying, and if I do try to appease her, then the get should not be chal. She's not appeased at the end of 30 days. What Rav Yosef says is, you know why she's not appeased at the end of 30 days? Because you didn't try hard enough. You should have given her 3 kav of gold. I don't have 3 kav of gold. That's not our problem. That's your problem. That's an oni situation. And ain't onis begin. Ikadam, Rav Yosef, others have a different version of this exchange. I'm Rav Yosef. Mi di tarkava di dinari bar le mesav. Well, saying this version is the opposite. Rav Yosef said, look, the guy tried. What do you want him to do? To give her 3 kav of gold? He doesn't have 3 kav of gold. So the Gemara says, ha faisa veloi faise. He tried to appease her, but ultimately, again, she was not appeased. Ha kiman do amar yesh onis begin, ha kiman do amar ein onis begin. Rabbi say these two versions of the Braisa simply align with two fundamental opinions, which is there is an opinion that says, yesh onis begin, extenuating circumstances do play a role in Gittin and could potentially undermine the Tanai. And others say there are no extenuating circumstances in Gittin. Rabbi Yosef, you should just know the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins is ein ones begittin. Extenuating circumstances do not play a role in Gittin. So therefore, for example, where does this come up? If a man makes a Tanai with a get. Man makes a Tanai. This is your get if so-and-so. If I don't do so-and-so, or if I do so-and-so, and there's some extenuating circumstance. Let's just use this example. This is your get if I don't come back within 30 days. And what happens? He comes back, but the bridge to the town collapses, or the flight gets delayed. Extenuating circumstances. He says, look, I tried my best. Circumstances beyond my control. The halacha says we don't recognize those extenuating circumstances, and therefore the tanai will be chal. That's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins ein ones begin, says the Mishnah. Hamal v'mos. We'll say this is a really interesting case. Hamal v'mos is a kohen ves levi ves ani. I lend money to a kohen, levi, or an ani, or a poor person. Watch this. And what do I want to do, Bosei? So the issue over here is all of these individuals potentially could be at risk for default, right? The ani, I understand, because he's poor. The kohen and the levi, remember, again, kohanim and levium, for the most part, right, subsist on shumas and maestros. So they need to borrow money. I want to lend them money. But how do I want to secure my debt? Listen to this. Lios mafrish alei michalkan. So I'll say, listen to what I want to do. This is actually a great chav. I say to the kohen, you know what? Here's $1,000, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to collect it from the truma that I would have otherwise given you. So I separate out $100 of truma, you know, a year for you. I'll just keep your truma for the next 10 years, And ultimately, you'll satisfy that like that. Same thing with the Levi, with Meiser Yishon. And same thing with the Ani, with Meiser Ani. So essentially, I want to keep the tithes that I would have normally given to them in satisfaction of their debt. But as I take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Lios Mafreshayim Mechelkon, Hamal V'Hazeh, Kishi Yafresh Shrumosav, Yimkor HaTruma V'Yakiv Avdam Nasmal. But obviously, the Yisrael himself can't eat the Truma. Right, because the truma is the property of the Kohen. So what he can do is he could sell truma. Now generally, by the way, you know you sell truma at a discount. You can't usually sell truma for full price because it's a limited market of people who ultimately could buy it. But I'm going to sell it at a discount and I'll keep the money and I'll use that money to continuously offset the loan. I'm just finishing Rashi. Fine. So says the Gemara. Let's finish the Mishnah. So the halacha is mafresh leim b'cheska shein kayamin ve'ino choshesh shema meis hakohen o halevi o ha'ashira ani. So also, I could continue to sell off and keep the money of these tithes, and I need not be concerned that what? That the parties involved died. Now, also, you understand now why you have this Mishnah here. This Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, where the previous Mishnah we discussed the possibility or the concern. Do I have to be choshesh that when the shaliach takes leave of the husband, that maybe the husband died? So, continuing on the same theme, the Mishnah says that I could set up this type of loan arrangement where I loan money to a kohen, a levi, or a yisrael, and in lieu of them repaying me, I accept their tithes as repayment. I could continue this process without checking in, you know, dropping an email, hey, just making sure you're alive. I can go ahead, I mean, you might want to add in a couple of other things to that email. Hey, so you could just go ahead and continuously separate out and sell off those tithes with the understanding and assumption that, in fact, they are still alive. But say, so being alive is for the of Kohen Yisrael. For the Ani, what you always have to be choshish for is what? Is that maybe he, Baruch Hashem, has money now. Thank God, remember, if he has money, then at the end of the day, he's not entitled to Meiser Ani anymore. However, Meisu, if these individuals die, if they die, in that case, you have to ask permission from the heirs to continue to keep the tithes. Look at Rashi. If these individuals die, technically speaking, remember, when a father dies, we're going to see that under most circumstances, the debts of the father do not pass down to the children. So in this case over here, lender is keeping the tithes for the Kohen Levi Yisrael. If they die, so the lender has to ask the children, is it okay if I still continue to keep the tithes in order to satisfy the debt? If the children say no, then at the end of the day, the lender is out. But also remember, the way this case is set up is that the lender essentially has accepted upon himself never to go after the Kohen, the Levi, or the Ani themselves, but rather he is going to just simply go ahead and accept the tithes in lieu of payment. That's the risk he runs. So again, it works out beautifully as long as the Kohen, Levi, or Ani are alive. If they die, technically speaking, again, he has no claim against the estate, and therefore the only way he could continue to collect his how is if the Yarshim ultimately give him permission. However, im hilvan bifnei beis din, eino tzarach lidrosh min Yarshim. But if this loan transaction took place in front of Beis Din, then the lender need not ask the children if he has the right to continue to collect the debt. Rather, he can simply do so. Look at Rashi. So we'll say, listen to this. This is a very important Rashi. So the Mishnah says that technically speaking, if this loan transaction went ahead and took place in front of Beis Din, and then let's say the borrower dies, so in that case the lender does not have to go to the children to ask them for permission to continue to collect. Rather, he could just continue to do so. Why? So this is amazing. So first of all, Rashi is telling us, why do we even allow for this type of transactions? A very simple reason. Because you could imagine that it's hard for Kohanim, Leviim, and Aniim to ever secure loans. Right? Why? Because generally they don't have collateral. They don't have collateral, no land. So the best way for them to leverage their debt, I will say, is the fact that they have an income stream. That's the chap over here. They have an income stream. What's their income stream? Trumos and maestros. So therefore, Chazal. Well, so essentially, what Chazal did in this type of situation is the following: if the loan took place in Beis Din, so Beis Din essentially secured that income stream for the lender, and Beis Din said, even when you die, we're going to continue to secure that income stream ultimately for the lender, in order that there should be a loan market ultimately for the Kohanim Levim in Yisrael. Now, both say, Beis Din have the right to do that. Why? Because of Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker essentially says that Beis Din has the right to control all monetary matters. To the point that even if Beis Din wants to say that the Trumos and Maestros will go to the lender, they have the ability to do so. Okay, so let's see. I'm sorry? Ani, it's all Ani as well. It's all Ani as well because it's the same logic. Rashi's saying over here, the logic over here is we want everyone to be able to secure loans, and Kohanim, Levim, and Aniim are all in the same boat.
The children
I'm sorry?
The children
oh, so good. Hold on to that. Good, we're going to see that. Says the Gemara, Va'af agav lo asli yadeh. So we'll say, here's what's interesting about this. The Gemara makes it sound over here as if what? As if Lamaisa, again, the lender, who's Yisrael, could just simply go ahead and separate out the tithes and what? Just keep them for himself without ever distributing it. See, what the Gemara's Havamina is, I thought the way this should work is, you should separate out your tithes, you should what? Give it to the Kohen Levi and Ani, and what? And they'll give it back to you. Here it sounds like you could even keep it, even if it never actually reached their hands. Now, what's the problem there? Well, say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Va'af agav delo osi liyadei. So Rashi says the following. He says, "Bitmiya, afa pi she'enu nosin lekoin v'achzirei melokatani masnis in the afreshalein v'chevon de'lo mati liyadei man zochi le'lahai koin hachtruma." Listen, here's the interesting part. You know, remember, truma, and meiser belong to Shevet Levi. They belong to Shevet Levi, just like meiser ani belongs to the community of aniim. It doesn't belong to any one individual. So says the Gemara, how could the lender just keep it after separating it? After all, when he separates it, why does it belong to the borrower, coin, any more than it belongs to any other coin? Technically speaking, I would think that the borrower coin has to first take possession of it, it's his, and then he could give it back to the Yisrael lender, to which the Gemara says, Amar Rav B'Makiri Kuhuna. So that's what are you talking about? Rabbi says, Makiri Kuhuna. Makiri Kuhuna means, Rabbi says, that historically what you had was, I have family members, or I have close friends who are Kohanim, and that's who I give to. Rabbi says, that was not an uncommon setup. That again, I give to my Kohanim, my Makira, right? That means my Kohanim, I recognize Kohanim. So we'll say, so in that type of situation, where kind of my Trumas and Maestros are already earmarked, right? They're earmarked for someone. So in that kind of case where they're earmarked for someone, then by definition, again, I can understand why I don't have to give it to them first before I retain it for myself. But since already it's earmarked to them, I can keep it in satisfaction of the debt. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, what's the case? In fact, I give it to a third party. I, the lender, Yisrael, separate out the Trumas and Maestros, give it to another party to acquire it on behalf of the particular Kohen or Levi borrower. They acquire it on their behalf, and then what? And then I take it back. I'm sorry. That's essentially what it is.
You could have done it yourself.
There's a din of zakhla. There is a most paskin that whenever it comes to zechia, the same person can't be the makna and the kona. You need two different people. You have to do it. You know, this comes up ultimately again with erev tafshilin. It's like, for example, when we make the erev tafshilin, make it on behalf of everyone. So generally, what I have to do with that is I can't acquire it on my own behalf, for my own family, for myself and everyone else. So I give it to my wife. She acquires it on behalf of the kehilah, because the same person can't be the makna and the kona. So says the Gemara. Ula Amar Ula says Hamani Rabbi Yosi. It's Rabbi Yosi. The Amar Asu Esheino Zocha Kizocha. Suppose Rabbi Yehuda has a simple sheet. Rabbi Yehuda says that again. This is a case where Chazal made it like the coin borrower is acquiring, even though what? He hasn't actually acquired it. In other words, that this is rabbinic law that's orchestrating the allowance of this particular setup and is making it as if the particular Kohen, Levi, Ani borrowers, in fact, acquired their tithes, even though they did not take actual physical possession. To which the Gemara says, Kuluk. So we'll say, so again, Bottom line is, the way the case is set up is that Lamaisa, again, the actual tithe is never getting to the hands of the particular Kohen Levi Yisrael. The owner Yisrael, the lender, the Yisrael lender slash owner of the produce is separating it out and ultimately is selling it off immediately. How could he do that? So three possibilities. Rav, Makir Kuna, he's always giving it to the same Kohen Levi and Ani, and therefore again it's as if they received it. Shmuel, he's giving it to a third party, that party is acquiring it on their behalf, then the lender's taking it back. Ula, this is a special rabbinic enactment that the rabbis made it as if the particular tithes reached the hand of the intended parties, and therefore the owner could keep it. To which the Gemara says, Kulu kirav lo svir lehu, lo amri. So again, no one holds like Rav. Why? Because of Makire lo katani. Because the Mishnah doesn't make any mention of Makire kahuna. Kishmo lo kamri. No one says like Shmuel. Why? B'mezake lo katani. Because the Mishnah doesn't make any mention that we're dealing with mezakei de'acher, with a third party. Kula nami lo amri. And furthermore, I will say, we don't set it up like Ula. The other two don't hold like Ula. Why? Ki yechida lo mukmina. Because I will say, Ula is a das yachid, and we'd rather not set it up like a das yachid, individual opinion. Fine. So I will say, you have your choice as to how you would like to understand the mechanics of the Mishnah. But bottom line is, the Yisrael lender need not actually distribute the tithes to the borrowers. Rather, again, he's permitted to proactively keep it for himself, sell it off, and use it to satisfy the debt. Tan Rabbanon, Hamal ben Moos, as a coin of Salavi, Vesani, Leos, Mafreshle, Michelkon. Let's say we learned in a Braisa, someone lent money. Yisrael lent money to a Kohen, a Levi, or an Ani, and the arrangement was that the repayment is going to come from tithes. So what's the halacha? So mafrish alein becheskas shein kayamin. So you could continue to separate out the tithes with the assumption that the particular Kohen, Levi, or Ani are still alive. Uposek imayin kishar hazol. And this is very interesting. Now you're permitted to go ahead and say the following, Rabosai. You're permitted to say that the price of the produce should be valued at kishar hazol, like the cheapest price. Rashi says over here, kishar hazol, the third white line, shim yuzlu chitin b'shas afrashas trumos, akablim ba'os ashar shashas afrasha. But say, listen to this, that ultimately, again, if the price of produce goes down, I should be able to go ahead and value the produce at the lower price. I will say, now, what's the chap of valuing it at the lower price? That's in the best interest of who? The best interest of the lender. Because if the produce is valued at a lower price, it means he's ultimately going to, over the long term, to be able to collect more in satisfaction of his debt. So you're permitted to do this. Ve'in bo mishum ribis. The boss said, generally, when it comes to repayment of loans in the form of produce, generally prices have to be locked in. Because if prices are not locked in some way, then what? Then we get into interest issues. So over here, the Gemara says there's no issue of interest. Ve'in shvias mishamta. So furthermore, again, shmita does not cancel this debt. Ve'in balachzer eino chozer. And if somebody wants to renege on this deal, they can't renege. We'll define who that's referring to in just a little bit. Nisya'ashu abaylim. Say, for some reason, the Israel lender, we call him the owner of the produce, despairs, gives up hope of ever getting repayment for this debt. He loses out on the opportunity to collect the debt anymore. Why the fish mafishin ala avud? Because you cannot separate out shumos and maestros on a debt that you thought was gone. So now we're going to go through each part of this braisa. So Amar Mar, Posek, second wide line, Lamed Amad Aleph. Posek, Imoim Kishar Hazol, you can go ahead and lock in the lower price for produce. Pshita, so isn't that obvious? Hakamashmalon, Afa Pishalo Pasak, Kimisha Pasak Dami. Oh, we'll say, what's the novelty here? The novelty here is that even if you don't explicitly make this Tanai is part of this, automatically part of this arrangement. That if the price of produce drops between the time, let's say, of the hafrasha, of the separating out and the time of the sale of the produce, or between the time that the arrangement is made and the time of the separation, you can sell the produce in accordance, or I should say, the amount that's generated from the produce is the lower amount, and therefore, again, it turns out that the seller slash lender actually benefits from this. So the Gemara says, and even if he doesn't explicitly make this Tanai, that Tanai is built into this transaction. There's no problem of interest. My taima kevan dichi lesle lo yoivle. Chazavos says, since in a case where the malda has no produce, so there's nothing he gives to the Kohen, Ki isle nami ein bo mishum ribis. So we'll say, since in this kind of case, what the Gemara is saying is like this, something is only called ribis if you're on the hook no matter what. But in this case over here, because if there is no produce, ultimately there would be nothing from the Yisrael given to the Kohen. So therefore, even when he has, there's no ribis as well. Ve'in shviyas misham taso. Shmita will not cancel this debt. Why? De'lo karinam be lo yigos. Because Rabbi said the concept of lo yigos, Pasuk says, lo yigos esrei eoves achiv, ki karash shmita l'ashem. Lo yigos is the prohibition that you may not try to collect a debt that ultimately, again, has been canceled by Shemitah. Why does lo yigos not apply over here? Because Rabbi said the truth is, the Yisrael lender doesn't really have any claim against the Kohen, Levi, and Ani. Why not, Rabbi said? Because essentially what the lender has done is he's given up any rights of collection from the individual. And I was supposed to say, you should know the godless of this case, by the way, from the Kohen Levi Yisrael perspective is what? What's the great thing about the setup for them? There's no personal liability. And I was supposed to say, as we're going to see in just a moment, let's say for some reason 1 year, the owner has a bad crop. Owner has a bad crop. And there's no trumas and maestros. So we'll say, so what's the liability of the Kohen Levi and Ani? Nothing. Essentially, in this case over here, the owner has freed the Kohen Levi and Ani from any personal liability and has agreed to get whatever he can from tithes. Because of that, says the Gemara, because there's no personal liability, therefore Shemitah does not go ahead and cancel the debt. In other words, Shemitah only cancels the debts that are subject to lo yigos. Lo yigos means you can't push the debtor for collection. The only time you could push the debtor for collection is when there's personal liability. Because no personal liability over here, therefore no lo yigos. Because no lo yigos, therefore Shemitah doesn't cancel. Then balachs are eno choser. And if he wants to renege on the deal, he can't renege. Amra Papa. Rav Papa says, who is this talking about? Lo shanu ela balabayis b'koin. We'll say, this is that the balabas, the lender, cannot renege on the terms of the agreement with the Kohen. However, aval koin b'balabayis, but if the Kohen wants to renege on the balabayis, choser, then ultimately again, the Kohen has the ability to do so. Rashi says, aval koin choser, cheivan da'asu kizocha, yachal liton, lo mashachta mimeni peros. So ultimately, again, the Kohen has the ability to renege on this particular arrangement. So the Gemara says, "Aval Kohen Balabayis in Balach Sar Choser Disnan Nosan Lo Maos for Lo Mashach Hemenu Peros." Because we'll say, after all, the halacha is that if you paid money, let's say I went ahead and I want to buy produce from someone, and I gave the owner of the produce the money, but I did not yet take physical possession of the peros. In other words, we'll say, because remember, by metals, by movable property, it's only meshicha, it's only taking physical possession, that's kona. So if I gave the money, but I've not yet done a kinyan, then lemaisa, again, I could go ahead and renege on the transaction. So to over here, I will say, at any point in time, if the coin wants to renege on the transaction, and he says, I don't want you to keep my trumos, I want my trumos back, he has every single right to do that. Says the Gemara, Neseishu Abayelim Ein Marfishalayim Lefishayim Marfishin Ala Avod. The Braisa said, that I will say, if you have a case where the owner, this is the Yisrael lender, gave up hope of ever recovering the debt, so he can no longer go ahead and keep the trumos and maestros, because lemais, again, you cannot separate out trumos and maestros on a debt that you've despaired of ever collecting. Pshita, it's obvious. Lo tzricha da'akun. Mao detema akan samil sohi. So it says, what's the case over here? The case where I will say is in the following situation. Where, let's say again, the stocks began to grow and then there was a drought. So nothing grew. So in that case over here, lemaisa, again, if the owner says, oh, I'm never going to collect, he gives up hope of collecting anything for that year, he's given up hope, ultimately, then therefore he no longer has the right to keep the trumos and maestros of that year. Meaning, let's say, even should things turn around and something grows, because he had yeyosh about collecting, he's given up his right to collect. So the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is here, even if stalks began to grow. I might have thought that since the stalks began to grow, there is some semblance of a crop. And since there's some semblance of a crop, therefore his yeyush is mistaken. Kamash malan, if he literally had yeyush, he's given up his right to collect. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Hamalva, Moses, a coin, Vesalei, Ube, Beisdin. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, if someone lends money to a coin or to a Levi in Beisdin, Umesu, and I will say, then the coin or Levi die. Mafish alein becheskas oso hashevet. But say, listen to this. You could go ahead and continue to keep the Chumos and Maisros, right? Literally, again, in the Chazakah, that the rest of the Shevet would want you to have it. That I will say, now, why would the Shevet... Now, because, again, the family of Karmel Levim would want you to keep the Chumos and Maisros as a satisfaction of the dead. That I will say, now, why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that the rest of Shevet Levi would want you to have the Chumos and Maisros satisfy the debt? This goes back to what Rashi said before. Because it is in the best interest of the tribe that the Yisrael lender keep the Chumos and Maisros to satisfy the debt. Why? Why? So that there will be lenders available for Shevet Levi. Because at the end of the day, remember, the only real way for a Yisrael lender to secure his debt against the Kohen or Levi is against the Chumos and Maisros stream. But if it turns out that every single time the borrower dies, so the Yisrael lender is done, then who's going to want to lend money? Therefore, it's in the best interest of the tribe to allow for the continued collection of Chumos and Maisros even after the particular Kohen or Levi borrower dies. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Achi Omer, Rabbi Achi says, I'm sorry, Avesa'ani bebezdin umeis marfresh lemecheskas ani Yisrael. Same thing, if you lend the ani money, and I will say both of these cases is where the transaction is taking place in Beis Din. If you lend the ani money, and then the ani dies, so you can continue to collect the debt in the chazaka of Ani Yisrael, that the community of Ani Yisrael would like you, lender, to continue to collect your debt, because this way we know ultimately that you'll lend ani in the future. Rabachi, Amar Rabachi says, Becheskas Ani Olam. No, it's not just in the chazaka of Ani Yisrael, but rather again, the paupers of the world are happy for you to go ahead and continue to collect, continue to keep the Maestro Ani in satisfaction of the debt. My Ben Asher, so what's the chilek between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Achi when it comes to Aniim? Ika, I'm the base. Ika Beinayu, Aniye Kusim. Or I will say, a practical difference will be, I will say, if let's say you live in a city and there are no Aniye Yisrael, but there are Aniye Kusim. So Rashi says over here, Rashi's Aniye Kusim, according to this opinion, according to Rabbi Achi, Kusim will be considered like Jews, and therefore, if in your particular city there are no Jewish Aniim, only Aniye Kusim, so therefore, again, the lender could still keep the Maiser Ani in satisfaction of the debt, because the community of Aniim, which in this case is comprised of Kusim, would like you to keep the money in order that there'll be a proper loan market. Ha Shira Ani. So I'll say, so listen to this case. Let's say now, I lend an Ani money, and I secured the debt against his Maiser Ani. But now what's the problem? The problem is now he became rich, Baruch Hashem. But now what's the issue? The issue, of course, becomes he's become rich. He's become rich, which means he's no longer entitled to Maaser Ani. So what's the halacha? Ein mafrish on Rabbi Elazar. So in this case, I'm out of luck. Why am I out of luck? I'm out of luck because I no longer have the right to keep the Maaser Ani, because remember, again, this individual who I lent money to is no longer entitled to any Maaser Ani. The zacha halo b'mash shebiyado. Rashi says, "Oyer zacha la b'mash shebiyado." Halo vaze inu chayiv lifrosh mishalo shari hovu amashol lifrom enabos. So listen to this. This is wild. In this case, remember again, the ani is also not the ani. The former ani is now also not obligated to what? Not obligated to pay back the lender the rest of the debt. Why Rabbi says goes back to what we said before. Because remember, no personal liability. Remember, in this case over here, the lender lent the money to the ani with no personal liability. He's going to collect from the tithe. Therefore, again, if it turns out that the ani is no longer an ani, therefore no entitlement to Maaser Ani, so whatever the lender got repaid, he got repaid, and he has no long, he's out, he's done. And the ani also has no obligation to pay back the rest of the debt, because remember, there was never any personal liability. So the Gemara says, V'rabbanon, Mashna lemisa da'avat hakanta, listen to this. And so now the Gemara asks, now understand, in the case where the ani died, so what's the halacha, Rabosai? The halacha is that we allow the lender to continue to keep Maaser Ani. Why? Because the community of Aniim said keep it, because it's in our best interest that you continue to collect the tithes that you lend poor people. So why is it that when the ani dies, the rabbis made a takana, but yet when he becomes rich, they didn't make a takana? You know, so I would have thought logically the same concept of Pavir, that even if he becomes rich, okay, the ani is not obligated to pay back the lender, but we should still allow the lender to continue to keep the tithe. Why? Because it's in the best interest of the community of Aniim. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Misa shricha, ashiras lo shricha. Because I will say, death is very common, right? Becoming wealthy is not so common. I was about to say, which is another way of saying, right? Which is another way of saying that what? that Lemaisa, again, at the end of the day, the Rabbanon only make takanos for normative situations or for common situations. So for the fact that someone lends money to an ani and leveraging and is receiving payment for that debt from Maiser ani, the fact that over time the ani could die, that is a realistic possibility. Therefore, because of that, the rabbis will legislate and will say to the lender, you can still continue to collect the Maiser ani to satisfy debt even once the ani dies. The possibility of the ani becoming rich is very remote, and therefore Chazal did not legislate in remote cases. Amar Papa, Papa said, this is an expression that people say, Haynu Dami Inshi, Chaver Chamis, Asher, if you hear that your friend died, you should believe it. Is Asher, if you heard that your friend became rich, Lota Asher, don't believe it. Okay, well, it's not like a very catchy statement, but all right, but nevertheless, you understand the logic in it. Mace, Tzarech Litol Rusho. So we'll say, so what happens? Remember, if the borrower died, so remember the Mishnah said that if the borrower died, you have to ask Rishus from the heirs, from the children, in order to continue to collect the debt. Tanya Rebbe Omer, Yarshin Sheyarshu. Who are we talking about? Only heirs who inherited. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Umi ika yarshin delo yarsi. Are there yarshim who don't inherit? In other words, they'll say, are there inheritors who don't inherit? Elo amar Rabbi Yochanan sheyarshu karka. Oh, we'll say, here's the distinction. When children inherit property, so when you inherit your property, you also inherit the debts of the father. If all you inherit is movable property, you do not inherit the debts of your father. So we'll say, so therefore, in this case, remember, I want to be clear, in this case, there's no real personal liability, because remember, again, that's the nature of this arrangement. But when the Yarshim inherited property, and therefore on a technical level, they inherit the debt of their father as well, Rashi says over here, Sheyarshu karka shalei mutal ha-mitzvah lifrocho v'aseinu. So there's a mitzvah upon them to pay off the debts of their father. So we asked them, look, I know there's no personal liability, but is it okay with you if I, lender, continue to keep the tithe that would have been coming to your father and I would be giving to you in satisfaction of your father's debt? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hiniach mali machat, gova mali machat. So we'll say, so now the Gemara mentioned this, the Gemara says the following. Now let's say a father leaves behind debt and also leaves behind a piece of land, but a tiny little piece of literally the size of a needle. So what's the halacha? So Rav Yochanan suggests that the liability of the estate for the debts of the deceased father is capped at the value of the land the father left behind. Melo kardum, gov melo kardum. If the father left behind literally the amount of land, like the size of an axe, then what? Then the liability of the estate is capped at the value of that land. Rabbi Yochanan Amar no, afilu hiniach malei machat, gova malei kardum, ukamaisa dikatina debai. Rabbi Yochanan says it's not true, but rather halacha lemaisa. Once there is any, literally it says, even if you left over the amount of land like a needle, you're chayiv for the amount, you're even chayiv to go in and pay back the amount of an axe. So we'll say what he's literally saying is, it doesn't matter how much the land is worth, it doesn't matter the size of the land. Once there is any amount of land left to the Yarshim, left to the inheritors then have an obligation, or a mitzvah, I should say, to pay off the debts of their father, even if what? Even if the debts far exceed the actual value of the land. We'll say it's a mitzvah, meaning it's a good thing to do. They're not personally liable for it, and at most the liability of the estate will be capped at the value of the estate, but lemais, again, it's important for them to try to do so. Now, this is another interesting case. Yisrael says to a Levi, there is Meister, Meister Yesh Lecha Biyadi. So, literally, I have Meister. We'll define what this case in just a moment. I have Meister of yours in my hand. In Choshesh and Lechumas Meister Shebo. We're not choshesh for shumas ha'isra. Just to understand tithes for just a moment. Remember again, Meister Rishon. Goes to the Levi, Truma goes to the Kohen. When a Levi gets Maiser Rishon, he has an obligation to separate out Trumas Maiser. which is a portion for the Kohen from that Maaser Rishon. So now let's say Yisrael says to a Levi, I have Maaser Rishon of yours in my hand. So the Brisa says, we're not choshesh that part of it is Trumas Maaser. We'll define what this means in just a moment. However, Kor Maaser Yishlacha B'yadi, but if I says, I have a Kor of Maaser, or as well as a Kor is a measurement, I have a Kor of Maaser in my hand, then of you that belongs to you, choshesh and Trumas Maaser. We have to be choshesh for Trumas Maaser. Now what's the case? My Kamer, what is he saying? Amar Abai, Hachi Kamer, this is what he means to say. Yisrael Sh'amar Lelevi, Maaser Yesh Lecha B'yadi. If Yisrael says to a Levi, I have Maaser Rishon of yours in my hand, V'helech Damav. And here, take the money. In other words, I want to purchase it from you. Take the money. Ein Choshesh and Shema Aso Chumas Maaser HaMokom Acher. But also, I need not be concerned. Now, Tosas points out that the case over here is that after the Levi accepted the money, or actually right before he accepted the money, he made the pile Trumas Maaser for some other crop that he has. I mean, let's say the Levi has multiple piles of produce in different places. So I say to him, listen, I want to sell you my Maaser Rishon. I'm going to give you the money, and I want to keep it for myself. I don't have to be choshesh that after the transaction, or right before the transaction occurred, that he designated the produce that I have as Trumas Maaser for produce that he has elsewhere. So the Gemara says, however, Kur Maaser Yishlacha B'yadi, but if I tell him, look, I've got a Kur of Maaser Rishon that I'd like to sell to you, and here's the money, I have to be concerned that what? Maybe he made it Trumas, maybe he made the pile of produce in my home Trumas Maaser on produce from somewhere else. So he says, what are you talking about? Atu Bereshi Askinon, the Shakli Dami Umash Vile Trumas Maaser. What are we dealing with Rishon? As well, so what does it mean we're dealing with Rishon? We'll say, what a crooked thing to do. So that would be telling me what the Levi would be doing in Bosai is what? Remember again, just so you understand the nature of this over here, I have the ability, a Yisrael could eat Maaser Rishon. I just have to pay the Levi for it. So in the case over here is, I have a pile of Maaser Rishon. I say to Levi, look, I'm buying it off you for $1,000. So fine, it works, no problem. I give him the money, I get to eat the Maaser Rishon. The Gemara says like this, we have to be choshesh. If I tell him how much Maaser Rishon I'm selling him, I have to be choshesh that what? That maybe he designated the Maaser Rishon in my Rishus as what Rabbi Osai? As Trumas Maaser for produce that he has elsewhere. Says the Gemara, that's crooked. Right? Do we have to be choshesh for crooks? If we choshesh for crooks, then maybe again, he's selling me something that he has already designated as Maaser Rishon. It can't be that such a thing would be a possibility. Also, we're going to stop over here. We'll pick up with Hachi Kamar Miras Hashem tomorrow. Again, I'm going to say this. Remember, I'm kind of leaving you mid-thought over here. We're going to reframe this case in Miras Hashem first thing tomorrow.